She's the media maven with her finger on the pulse of the heartbeat of Chicago. If it's happening in the Windy City, she's got you covered. Now here's the lady that puts the fun in fundraising, Candid Candace Jordan.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to Candid Candace, the podcast. I'm here with my trusty co-host and producer, John St. Augustine, on a brilliant, gorgeous Friday afternoon. How are you doing, John?
I'm good. As Harry Carey would say, it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous day, Candace Jordan.
Well, you have that impression down pat. There's no question about it. Well, what are you doing on this beautiful day besides talking to me?
Well, you know, I had a bunch of work to get done this morning. It's interesting in my work line, you know, all this audio stuff that I do, that when I don't think I'm going to do anything more for a while, the phone rings or I get an email. And I get to say yay or nay, which is good, but mostly I say yay because a lot of this stuff is important. So it's been a morning of audio work and editing and projects and stuff like that. But tonight, the Cubs are on Apple TV, and I'm going to sit down. Look, hang on.
Yeah.
Wait, I got to get it. Hold on.
Oh, I hear your snacks.
Cracker Jack.
Oh, we just bought some Cracker Jack yesterday.
No kidding.
Nostalgia.
Yeah.
We're all yearning for those good old days.
There's a prize inside. Can't wait to see what it is.
Oh, can you open it now and tell
me
what it is?
No. I'll text you when the game's on. I've been waiting on this for a week with this bag.
Oh, my God. So Apple TV, I got to let Chuck know. I don't think that...
It's a freebie. Yeah. So if you've got Apple TV, you can watch it for free.
Oh, that's super. Well, we're going to stay...
Yeah, like it used to be.
Yeah, exactly. Like it used to be. Oh. We're staying in. We got a big event tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. We've been very busy with events this week. Last night, we had Veronica Beard, this wonderful, beautiful women's clothing store on Rush Street, hosted a pre-party for us for Wings, which is that agency for domestic violence that's going to be having a huge fashion show fundraiser on April 25th that they're going to honor me, and there are going to be fashions by Elda De La Rosa. We've got the handsome Nigel Barker, who we spoke to, who's going to be the
Nigel Barker,
MC.
That's right.
So he's coming in for that, and it's really going to be a big, big deal, and I'm so looking forward to it. But they were really nice to host this. They gave 15% of their sales at the store for yesterday and the next couple of days to Wings, the charity, and it was just really a generous gesture, and it was a fun party, and Sylvia Perez and I and Tracy Meyer, the woman who created this event, all co-hosted.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was really fun, and tomorrow night, I'm looking so forward to the After School Matters sneaker ball.
Oh, don't know about that.
Yeah, it's going to be held at the Sports Museum, you know, at the Water Tower place.
Yeah.
And obviously my favorite thing besides the cause is the fact that you get to wear sneakers to the event. So I'm all in on that. Yeah, so got that going. And last week it was filled with nostalgia for me because, you know, as some of you may know, it was Hefner's 98th heavenly birthday on April 9th. And I mean, the tributes that came in and actually the messages that people sent me because they knew, you know, my association with Playboy. I mean, it was so touching. And, you know, we have a Playmates group on Facebook that there were all these beautiful tributes that were pouring in. And he was a much loved man, despite this handful of malcontents that are trying to ruin his reputation. But other than that, it was really a wonderful day to reminisce about him, my old boss.
Is that how you see him? I mean, obviously you guys were much more than... He was more than your boss. I mean, every time I've seen these pictures.
No, yeah. I love him. I absolutely loved him. And, you know, from the moment I met him, which was like, I don't know, how old was I? Let's see. It was I 23 or 22? I met him like a million years ago. And from the moment I met him, I admired him. I mean, I loved the way he dealt with people. I loved his gentleman qualities. He's like, it was an old school. He's like an old soul with a really darling little boy inside. I mean, his sense of humor never waned, even when he was super sick. And he was, you know, he would sign autographs until his arms were broken. And I tried to get a friend of mine on the show today, but he's out of contact with Wi-Fi. And his name's Jeff Cohen. And he's out in the suburbs. He's still a photographer, but he was an art director for Playboy. And he told me stories that were side-achingly hysterical about Playboy and dealing with Hef. I mean, and that's, I'm still going to get him on this show because he's just absolutely hysterical. And in his bathroom at his photo studio, he's got like 10 certificate or these notes, these memos framed. Remember the old yellow memos?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And so he's got like 10 of these framed from Hefner personally to him, you know, concerning his work or what he's done at the magazine or whatever. And so most of them are saying, you know, step out of the batter's box, Jeff, you know, this, you're doing the wrong thing. I mean, just the funniest notes. And he used to tell me, he said, when everybody would come into work, the first thing anybody would notice is if there was one of these bright yellow memos on your desk, because that meant that you were in trouble. And so he collected like 1,000 of them, apparently, and he saved them all. And some of our, well, here, I've got one here. Let me read this.
Okay.
So he says, put down your bat, Jeff, and step away from the batter's box. I'm really not interested in pursuing the subject of sexual revelations related to Playboy Playmates or models. This is precisely what Penthouse does every month, and what sets Playboy apart from the rest of the market is the impression, built with considerable care over the last 5 decades, that our models aren't bimbos. So Hefner had a cute sense of humor, oh my God, and he says, oh, here's another, wait, listen. So Jeff was in charge of the flats, which were the special edition magazines of Playboy, you know, like Girls of Lingerie or Girls of the Big Ten or whatever. And he says the cover of the January-February book of lingerie is one of the least attractive in a very long time, and there is really no reason for approving this sort of picture for the front of a flat when we have so many appropriate ones to choose from. Incidentally, the model on page 94 is a porn star. That's not a good idea, Jeff. So Hefner missed nothing. I mean, he was a solid part of every single part of that magazine. I mean, and didn't miss a trick.
Yeah.
But the way Jeff tells the story is just incredibly funny. So we're going to have him on. But it was a fun day. What are your memories of Hefner, John?
You know, well, my dad helped with that effort. You know, I remember. I just have this weird memory in my head of my dad coming home one day. I couldn't have been more than, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old at that point. I don't remember. And telling my mom proudly that he was going to subscribe to Playboy. Oh. And he did that. And then it became this thing where he would actually catch the mailman reading the magazine in his car before he delivered it. The guy would sit there, read the magazine, you know, and check out the centerfolds and the whole thing. And then he put it back in the little paper thing it came in. It was hilarious. And so, when my dad died, he must have had 300, maybe more.
Bless his
heart. I have quite a few of those still. I mean, and I've said this before. I mean, I think at one point, I looked this up the other day, that the peak circulation for the magazine was like almost 8 million.
That's a lot. Massive. It was massive.
And the thing that was intriguing to me for the most part with Hefner was twofold. Number one is that he launched this thing from nothing, like his kitchen table with his mom, right? I mean,
right, yeah, exactly.
Started with nothing, took out a banknote. His mom gave him $1,000.
Yes.
45 investors helped out. And I remember reading a quote that he said, my mom wasn't so much into the project, but she was into her son, that she believed in me, you know?
That stands to reason. Well, he worshipped his mother, and obviously vice versa. He had a great relationship with his parents come from a Puritan stock.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I always thought was interesting. And here, for him to take on, you know, this position in life was really kind of the dichotomy to what he was probably raised with.
And the other thing, he started as a copywriter with Esquire, and I think that must have had this massive, you know, impact on him before Playboy ever started, about how important reading is and getting men especially to read articles that they would enjoy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 99% of the magazine was articles and stories and essays. And I just found that to be like great balance.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie to you. The middle part of the thing was freaking great too. But my dad would sit there and read. And I thought, my dad's reading. Wow.
He had a great plan. He had the girls to attract them, and then once they were there, they're hooked and they're reading. So, you know, that Esquire job, he had asked for a minimal raise, and they refused him the raise, and he left the magazine and started Playboy.
Bad mistake on their part.
Yeah, and he actually said that he used it as a template. So, you know, the photos and all the interesting articles, but I mean, what a fascinating life. I mean, absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, and to think that while he was, I think at heart, you would know, I don't, I'm asking, at heart he was a writer. He was a man who was deeply involved in the written word, and yet he is able to transcend, you know, the Playboy After Dark thing. It's some one thing if he was behind the scenes, but he was the magazine. It wasn't like it was separate from him.
Oh, no, it was exactly him. It was a Totally. It was everything that he wanted is what he put in the magazine. And fortunately, it's apparently what everybody else seemed to want, too. I mean, you know, his first book was a book of cartoons. So as being a writer, he was also a great lover of comedy and could tell a great joke. And well, look at all those fabulous jokes that he chose personally for the magazines.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that it was an astounding life. And I just really, I miss him. I can't believe he would have been 98 years old.
Wow.
God, and I can't, actually, it's hard for me to believe, I have to pinch myself, how long I knew him and was associated, and still associated with Playboy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm very, very lucky. And
how do you explain that? I mean, when you think of the multitudes of women that were part of that massive effort, what do you suppose kept you two together for so long like that?
Oh, I think my personality. I think that he
you mean because you're a shrinking violet?
Yeah. Well, he, first of all, he loved to laugh, and, you know, and I loved to make people laugh, and he liked, you know, beautiful women and pretty women, and, you know, I had some looks, and so, you know, it was an interesting situation, because, you know, when I was hired by Playboy, I wasn't hired by him. I was hired in St. Louis, so I had never even met the man yet. But after I appeared in a pictorial, Best Bunnies, then they called from Chicago and asked if I wanted to transfer here. And I, of course, jumped at the chance, as I've mentioned to you before. And so when I moved here is when I first met him. And I mean, I wasn't hired because of him, but boy, once I met him, it was all over because I was just enthralled. Mm. And, you know, and then all the parties and this and that, and it was like stars every night. And
yeah.
I mean, it was a heady, heady moment in time. And, you know, fortunately, I came on to Playboy during, like, what I consider the golden age of Playboy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's when all the playmates from the 70s were all unique. And, you know, it was before all the plastic surgery and before everybody was a blonde. And,
yeah.
I mean, so it was a lot of diversity. And, I mean, it was just, was a wonderful time. And the girls were truly the girls next door. Not like the porn star that Jeff tried to put into the special
Jeff,
edition
not a good
magazine.
Idea. Yeah,
not a good idea.
But you know, look at you too. I mean, there's some parallels here in my mind because I get to watch this whole thing unfold. Mm-hmm. You as well are not limited by the looks that you had and your humor. You've become this socialite reporter person. It's like these other things, these talents that you had were also came into play, and you were able to parlay the Playboy experience of your life into much bigger things.
Yeah, well, I really feel lucky about that. But I've told you so many times that every door that opens, I walk through. So, you know, thank God the right doors opened, and here I am. You know, that's all I can say. It's just, I mean, I know it's more than luck, but I mean, I don't know how it happened. I feel very blessed is all I know. So
that's usually the best way, right? You can't quite pinpoint it. Some amazing things happen. And I want the listeners of this podcast to know how this works behind the scenes. So we wrap this show up. There's very few edits for the most part. I'll do a little cleanup here and there, make sure everything's to time. And before I'm done with that, you already have the show description to me written for the most part. I'm thinking, what? It's amazing it's just amazing how quick a turnaround. I work with so many people that I'll get it right to you, and 2 days later, I'm still waiting.
Yeah, that's kind of the way of the world now, and that infuriates me. I mean, you know, and I mean, if I can't answer an email instantaneously, then I'm frustrated, as you can imagine. So frustrated. And I know that I have to be a little more, I mean, it's not those same times. People don't answer instantly, and sometimes they don't answer at all until you send them 14,000 reminders.
I know.
So, yeah, well, thank you for that.
Very professional. But that's not surprising to me, but it's refreshing because I deal with so many people like you do. Oh. That you wait. But we lock this thing down in a couple hours. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. We really are good. And if anybody wants to be on the show and have a sponsorship here.
We're heading in that direction.
We're well open. We're doing great with our numbers,
yes,
I understand.
Yes, we are. We are. So we're cranking them out. But I'm not surprised. You know, when I kind of brought this to your attention over a year ago now, just over a year, I already knew this was going to be something that would hit because of exactly what you're talking about, the energy you have and how people see you in the city and the connections that you have. And, you know, you're like, you know, iconic.
Oh, well, yeah, that's me. All right. Iconic. Well, you know, here's the thing. I love having another platform to share all the news that I have. And, you know, all the events. I mean, I don't want anybody, this stuff to go by the wayside. People should know about what's going on. And they should know about, you know, smaller charities that, you know, maybe they don't get press attention, you know, because every single one of them does something that's really good to support the city. So I am happy that I can talk about anything I want in this space and do a little good. So, you know, and you're the same, John. My God, you've been doing this forever. Award upon award and, I mean, you're the, an amazing voice for good in this world, and you always have been. I bet you since you were little, you were like this.
Oh, I don't know about that, but my sister might have something to say about that. But well, I just, you know, I came up in the time, we're not that far apart, you and I, but come into the 70s, and you realize that there was like this cultural shift that you're supposed to do something with your life and take some responsibility, and all the environmental stuff that kind of got stirred up at that time and all the rest of it just really played a role in my life. And I figured I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to find out what I'm here to do and I'm going to do it. And this is how it's turned out.
Right. I love it. I love it. Well, speaking of charities that do good, I want to mention a couple of ones that I have coming up. And one is interesting, and this is one that most people probably haven't heard of, and it's called the Minds Matters Gala. Have you ever heard of it? Minds Matter Gala.
I have not.
Well, you know, this gala provides funds for the Malnati Brain Tumor Institute. And this year it's going to be on Friday, May 10th at the Hilton. And you know who's going to headline? Tom Dreesen.
Oh, Tommy's coming.
Yes. Our Tom. Yeah. And the event will raise funds for that go toward new brain tumor research and, you know, the development of improved treatments and mm-hmm. so on and so on. And I can't imagine anything worse than having a brain tumor.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. I'm going to be there. I'm going to cover this. And, you know, hopefully other people will be there too.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah. And, you know, paws, I love animals, as you know. I mean, as a matter of fact, I hate to mention this again, but I am getting another award, and it's going to be at the Paws Chicago Beach Party on Thursday, July 25th. And actually, they're going to present me with the inaugural Community Engagement Award.
So, wow.
And, you know, everybody knows about my love for animals. And I don't only cover paws, but I've covered the anti-cruelty, One Tail at a Time, Young at Heart Pet Rescue. So, I mean, I have a real connection to any kind of animal-related charities. And so this is nice that they're going to recognize me with that. And the co-honoree is Bill Jacobs, who has also done a lot for paws and their animal welfare work. So I'm looking forward to it, how people can come. But also, PAWS will have an animal magnetism party on Friday, April 26th at Morgan Manufacturing. So they have a lot of fun things coming up.
You know, that
so I'm
whole...
sure I'll see you at both of those.
Oh, yeah, I got my tickets. I think there's Cub games on both those days. Otherwise, I'd definitely be there. Uh-huh. But you know, the whole event thing is fascinating to me. You know, I just did this event for Schurz High School with a team. It's a lot of work, and I think... You know, it's with the amount of charities and 501s and nonprofits and things in this city, that whole event part is like a major business almost to get this stuff done, isn't it?
It is totally a major business. I mean, look at all the event planners and all the decor people and all the visual aids people. I mean, it supports an entire industry. There's no question about it.
Yeah, it's really fascinating.
So I mean, I love doing it.
The coverage of this thing, I go back to what you said before, and I've always told you this. I mean, some of the stuff we would never hear about unless you were there.
Aww.
And you would be inside talk with people. And the fact that you get to hang with Nigel Barker again, it's not
a bad deal. Isn't he the cutest? I'm telling you, he has done so much for this this Wings charity. And he spoke to us, in our past broadcast that he experienced some domestic violence growing up too. So I really gave him a lot of credit for opening up about mm-hmm. that, because you know, people like him that have such a platform, they're the ones that really make a difference or can be used as like a speaker phone. But you know, speaking of that Veronica Beard event that we were at, and Sylvia Perez, who I absolutely love and adore. I mean, absolutely love and adore her on Fox. She's an anchor and she's beautiful and she's got the biggest heart. She gave us a wonderful slot on Monday to talk about this event, and Elda showcased some of her fashions on television, and I spoke on, and Tracy Meyer, who is the creator of this event, spoke eloquently about it. So, you know, I have a shout out to Sylvia, because she's always right in the front of anything good. And so I'm so happy to have her as a friend. And coincidentally, she's going to have me back on to share my events with their audience. So I'm looking forward to beginning at the end of May.
That's fantastic. And I'm sure at some point you're going to be saying, John, we have to go to Sylvia Perez for the show, and here's her connection number, and figure that out.
100%. What did you just say? Say that again.
Exactly the way I said it. Probably couldn't say it again. My point was is she's going to be a guest of the show.
Oh, you can bet on it. Yes, indeed. 100%. She is on my target list. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, another person that I wanted to reach out to was Gary Cole, who was the senior art director for Playboy when I was a Playboy bunny at the Chicago club. And he's another one that'll have 1,000 different stories. So I'm going to line all this up, and we're going to do another Playboy day with Hefner.
Yeah.
And, yeah, because I wanted people to hear their stories, because they obviously they knew him in a different way than I did. And it was just... I laugh thinking about the things they've told me.
I've lost track of all this. Is it still, because I know they went to a very different platform magazine that was just online. What remains today of Playboy?
Well, you know, it's still there online, and there are some very beautiful women, but, you know, now everybody's a Playmate of the Year. You know, they did at the last magazine that they did, they said, oh, no, we're not going to have one Playmate of the Year. We're going to have everybody's a Playmate of the Year. It's like when you play baseball as a little kid, that, you know, everybody's going to win the game. Nobody's going to lose. So, you know, they started on that, which I'm not crazy about that path. But, you know, I mean, at least it's still there in some form. And, you know, and that much I'm happy for. So, was that answer?
Yeah, well, it does. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's definitely changed over the years. And obviously, it probably almost has to. It's like with a lot of things, when the figurehead changes, the masthead changes.
Yeah. Well, and you know, they've even had men as centerfolds.
What?
Yeah. So there's that.
In Playboy?
Everybody's a centerfold. If you want to be a centerfold, I was just going to say, see what I can do.
You should see a little light bulb went off my head. Wait, what? I might be able to pull that off.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's we're all inclusive. So anyway, let me talk about...
We're all inclusive. Well, let me talk about it.
Yeah. Well, let me talk about, you know, I love the Joffrey Ballet, and they're one of my favorite dance companies. And they're going to have their Midsummer Night's Dream performances are going to start on April 25th at the Lyric Opera House. And these are incredible. I've seen sneak peeks, and I'm telling you, don't miss this show, and I'm sure it's going to sell out. Their gala will be held on June 14th. So they've got a lot of things coming up, and it's going to be very, very exciting. So there's that. So do you go to any art related things besides, you know?
I do. I like to do the smaller ones, you know, like in Oak Park, we go to one, we go up to Evanston, and we do some things like that. So yeah.
I love that. I'm glad. I wish, you know, if I'd like to drive in a car more than I do, I would go to those venues out in the suburbs, because they're so beautiful, all of them.
Yeah. It's really interesting, because, you know, they'll pull it right out in the street. They block the street off.
Yeah.
And then you have the local artists putting their things up, and it's not just, you know, obviously framed hanging wall art.
Yeah,
all type of things. It's just fascinating and wonderful.
Well, you know, I'm guessing that you're talking about the Amdur Productions Art
Fairs. Yes, yes.
Because they are a fabulous friend of mine. And, I mean, their Lincoln Roscoe Art and Craft Fairs coming up May 18th and 19th. And they put on all those. They put them throughout the suburbs. They have the Gold Coast Art Fair June 15th and 16th. They have them all across Chicagoland, but... we had her on a podcast.
We did.
Yeah. You remember?
I do.
You don't.
I do remember. I just remember
really?
Her name.
Okay. It's just the way you said it.
No,
I'm
sorry.
Like
I do.
Lying to me.
I do. I do.
Okay. Yeah. So she was on, and she spoke, you know, I mean, she founded this so many years ago, and look at now they're everywhere. So I give them a lot of credit, and they have the best art fairs in the country. But, you know, also another one that I love is the Randall Street Market. We also spoke to Sally Schwartz, the founder, on our first podcast.
That is correct.
Remember that?
I do.
Okay.
I'm just listening. Yes,
okay.
I do.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, the next Randall Street Market is coming May 25th and 26th.
That I didn't know. So thank you.
Yes. And then September 28th and 29th. So put those on your calendar. Okay.
Uh-huh. I got them. Okay. Plus, I got to tell you, I'm being very judicious. Because my studio is in direct line with somebody doing yard work in the next.
Oh.
So I'm turning my mic off in between so we don't get the ambient noise.
Oh, I got you. Oh, yard work. That's lovely. I like the fact that somebody's out there doing yard work.
That's a nice day.
It's a sign of spring. Well, I know I've talked about this before, and I'm going to talk about it again. the Dream Awards. You know, the Dream Awards are coming, and that's Saturday, May 18th. And again, I'm proud to be an honoree. But they've added some new... people to the roster, and I just want to share some of this information. Cheryl Burton's going to be the beautiful mistress of ceremonies. Jose Sanders is going to receive the Excellent in Broadcast Award. George Daniels will receive the Living Legend Award, and it's going to be at the Kehrein, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Kehrein Center for the Arts. It's near Oak Park. But anyway, it's going to be Saturday, May 18th. They are going to have, you know, musical performances. There's going to be tributes to Curtis Mayfield and Diana Ross and Coco Taylor, among others. And it's just going to be really a blowout. And I've never been to this Center for the Arts, but I've looked it up, and it's a beautiful venue in a gorgeous setting. So I hope people can come. It's going to be jam-packed with talent, and I'm just happy to be a part of that, too. So.
That's kind of more in my neck of the woods. It's really nice over there.
Yeah, and it's presented by Harrison Entertainment, and that's Mabel Buckner, who I absolutely love and adore. She's the hardest-working woman in show business. And so she's putting this all together. So, yeah, we'll be there and with bells on, and I hope people can join me. You know what's coming back, too, that this was interesting, and I was so happy to see this, because, you know, after Richard Driehaus passed away, I was afraid that one of his, he used to do an annual fashion show with scholarship awards going to the top fashion students. You know, I think it was judged and whoever won received a scholarship. So I thought when he passed that might have gone away, but it didn't. It's coming back on May 16th, and it's going to be at the 21C Museum Hotel where the Wings Fashion Show will be held, which is a very hot new venue now. And so, yeah, the Driehaus Fashion Show Awards are coming back May 16th. So that's good news.
That is very good news.
Yeah, and my friend Tracy Tarantino will be producing the show as she always has in the past. So it'll be all A-listers, especially with her doing the production and gorgeous fashions. And I'll be going to that, too, as well.
I don't know how you do it.
Well, it's just these are all split apart. You know, these are in May. We're talking about in April now. So it's not like I'm doing, you know, 17 events in one night, but it feels like it sometimes.
It does. It does. I get tired just listening. I'm like, I don't know how you guys do this.
Well, poor Chuck. Well, he does have a little bit of a cold, but we hope it's not from overwork. But no, he enjoys it. He likes to go as much as I do. So I hope that I tell myself that, but he tells me the same thing, and I hope he's not lying to me just to make me happy, but
I always get a kick out when you two are going out, there'll be a picture in the car or something. It's like, look at these kids are out on the town again.
Yeah, he really loves those car photos, believe you and me. Anyway, so it's fun. It's a beautiful day, and we're going to try to take my little dog in to get her nails trimmed. That's what my plans are, and that'll be fun. You know, she's refused to stop wearing collars and harnesses.
She's done.
Yeah, she's done. She put her foot down recently and just bit the hell out of me. And I mean, it's like I've stabbed her with it in the past and she's scared of it. I have no idea what happened. It's just one day she's wearing it. The next day she won't even let me. If I get it out of the carrier and she sees it, it's all hell breaks loose.
What the what?
I know. I don't know.
You need to call that dog whisperer fella.
Yeah, you know, Cesar Millan. He's back on the air. His first show was last night. Yes. I love him. And you know what I love the most about what he says about dog training?
What?
That the problem is never with the dog. Right, it's always with the owner. Right, yeah. Right. And I certainly take
that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I'm pointing the finger at myself. Okay. Believe me, I would never blame that little bundle of love for any trouble.
You know, I've had dogs on and off over the years, and I don't remember. Things change. I mean, I guess there was probably a dog whisperer back in the day. But, you know, we just had dogs, and there was not much thought other than you have a dog. You walk the dog. That was kind of about it.
Feed the dog.
Yeah, that was it. But now it's this, you know, people take their dogs to training, which I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so. Now they're taking violin lessons.
Exactly.
I know, it's crazy. Well, look at those performance runs where those dogs have to go in and out of those things and tubes.
Yes.
I have never seen anything like that. I don't know. How in the world do you teach a dog to do that?
I don't know. Have you ever been to the dog show?
Oh, I used to go. I used to show dogs.
You did?
Yes, I had an Afghan hound.
You had an Afghan?
Yeah, in Southern Illinois. Oh, she was beautiful. Shebe was her name. And no, I took her all over St. Louis for shows. We won a lot of medals.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I love dog shows. Yes.
I mean, I kind of like watching them on television. It's a nice break from, even though I get a kick out of baseball and football, but to watch the dog shows is interesting. I'm thinking, sometimes it looks like the people need to get in the same shape the dogs are in when they're running around.
100%. That is so true. And, you know, and always, invariably, those very heavy women have the little chihuahuas. That
little
tiny
dog.
Yeah, that they have to chase like crazy. Yeah, but, you know, that Westminster dog show with those, that echelon of dogs and the quality of those breeds are just something that's astounding to me.
Well, it's like, I don't have a trained eye. I'm like, how do you determine out of these 9 working dogs which one's the winner? I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I wish they would say, well, you know, he had one rib that was shorter than the other, and so therefore he's the winner. I mean, I don't know. I can't understand it. I would go strictly on personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because some of those dogs really do know that they're in that ring,
and
they're competitive, and, I mean, I get the biggest kick out of those little things, but yeah. So anyway, what are you doing this weekend, John?
You know, not a, tomorrow night we're going out with friends for dinner. Looking forward to it. Haven't seen them for a little while, and everybody's been busy, so looking forward to that. Going to a place in Schaumburg called Granite City. There's a plug. Never been there. We're going to try it out.
Oh, oh my goodness. There, yeah. That's a town near my hometown, Southern Illinois.
Granite City. That's right. Yeah, down that way. So doing that tomorrow, and then I just got outside stuff. It's supposed to be beautiful this weekend, so yard stuff and garage stuff. And it's good for me to, you know, I got to push myself away from the work desk sometimes. I get so involved, like you.
Well, John, that is so true, and I'm so happy you're going to be able to get out this weekend. It's supposed to be 80 degrees.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's going to be marvelous. I can't wait. Yeah. It's flowers are all coming up around our building. I can see the daffodils, and I mean, I just, you know, we didn't even have a winter, did we?
I did not. No. I mean, nothing to write home about, and if I did, I would just be sending it to myself. There's nothing there.
nothing
to write home about.
Oh, did you see the eclipse?
I did.
Wasn't that something?
You know, I got to tell you. So I have the same glasses that I had for 2017. So I don't know where I just came. Oh, there they are. I don't have to get another pair. So I was working out in the yard, and all of a sudden it got cooler, and the birds got quiet, and nothing was moving. The traffic I could hear. But I just sat in the yard for a while, and I watched. It was about 80, 90%, I think, covered. I didn't get full coverage here.
They said 87% for Chicago. Yeah.
And on one hand, you know, I've seen four or five or six of these. On the other hand, I'm like, this is so cool. And the next time this happens, I'll be 85.
Wow. Isn't that something to think about? Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't think much about the eclipse. This is right after we did the Sylvia Perez Fox show.
Uh-huh.
And so Chuck was going to pick me up, and I realized that, you know, God, you know, eclipse is going to be here in an hour. And I said, so Chuck, let's go get glasses and take a look at it. Before that, I was thinking of other things. I had other things on my mind. So we went to, I will tell you, five different places looking for those eclipse glasses. It literally, and then we went to Jewel on North Avenue, and they had one pair left. One pair. I mean, I am telling you, it was like the golden ticket. And so when we went out and I put them on, and it really does blow you away. I don't care how, you know, jaded you are. I mean, God, that is the moon crossing the sun, people.
Yeah, you know, I got so much writing I'll never get to, but I had this thought, like, what a great fiction story to have the concept that what if it just stopped right there, and it just, we had only had 90% or 87% coverage like it was, and how would the world respond if it stayed like that for 2 years in an eclipse form, just for who knows why? Somebody didn't pay the light bill, it stuck. I don't know.
Right.
But can you imagine the chaos that would ensue?
Oh, that would be horrifying. Yeah. Well, you know, think about those people in the, you know, early people. They all thought the world was coming to an end. I mean, it went crazy, and it did get dark downtown here too. You know, somebody said, "Well, I didn't see anything change in the sun." I said, "Well, then you weren't paying any attention because it got dark down here."
And Skilling was back down doing what he does best in Southern Illinois, grabbing a great time.
Oh, that was the sweetest. And did you see that guy, the NBC5 meteorologist? I mean, he just absolutely dismantled.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was hysterical. Ah, poor little guy.
I read somewhere the other day that because people stop for an hour or so, roughly, to take time out to go watch it from work, that there was like a loss of about $700 to, you know, $900 million because people stop working. First of all, I don't know who you figure that out.
Yeah.
And secondly, so what?
Yeah, so what? It's, let them take a moment of their... downtown was filled. I mean, people were sitting anywhere they could with those little glasses on that I did not have a pair of yet. But finally, thank goodness. And
so what did you guys do? Cut the glasses in half and each use one eye?
Well, we had to pass it back and forth. But, you know, we pulled up alongside the road. I mean, people are going driving to Indiana, and they're going to Dallas, Texas, and all this. You didn't have to do all that. You could just sit out on LaSalle Street. I mean, there's the sun. You're not going to see it any better. I mean, so what's a 13% more going to make a difference to your experience? I don't think so.
And I like things that are out of our control and out of our reach. And we're so structured in our society. We think we know everything because we have everything, and it's not the same thing. And then all of a sudden, here's this ancient rite of passage happening that we have no control over, and you still get a huge amount of humans on the world going, wow, that's very cool. I think we need that stuff.
Oh, I think so, too. You know what it did? It brought people together. I mean, it was so cute to see everybody shoulder to shoulder in the park all staring up at the sky. I mean, it was, I mean, you've seen some great photos that some photographers have captured of those kinds of experiences. And I'm telling you, that's the part I like the best, you know, all the camaraderie about this. Mm-hmm, so you're right. Absolutely right. I'd like to see more of it.
Well, and I think that when I realize that the next one that happens, there's going to be some partial eclipses and stuff, but the next full eclipse is like in 2044. And I'm thinking, again, you know, we're talking 20 years from now. I'm like, just the whole concept of me being 85 was like slightly depressing for a minute. And I hope I'm still here to see it. So I kept my glasses. I'm not going to get rid of them.
Oh, no. You've got to keep your glasses. I hope they don't crumple from decay or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, by then, I think they'll probably have developed a much better pair of glasses to watch that eclipse. So
They looked like, to me, the 3D glasses used to get going in a theater.
100%.
Right?
That's exactly what they look like to me. Yes, exactly. I loved it. Anyway, I don't know. Well, listen, I've got to tell you another thing.
Yes.
You know my friend Leslie Hyman.
Yes.
She, you know, created the fabulous, now it's a global auction house, Hyman Auctions. And she's selling her mansion on Lakeshore Drive. And I am telling you, it is a stunning home. It was patterned after a Venetian palazzo. And it's got all this incredible stonework on the front and three floors, a beautiful deck completely done, and fireplaces, and it is just done to a turn. And she's selling it for $3.8 million.
Oh, I'm in.
Which I think, and it's one of a kind. I mean, one of the last remaining homes on Lakeshore Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a real gem if somebody has that kind of money and is looking for something that's unique and special. It's Leslie Hyman's mansion, and you could call me and I'll take you over there and show you that. No, I'm only kidding.
It's the real estate hour with Candace Jordan.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, there's an idea. So we can add to all the sponsor list that's growing. We can do real estate.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's true. Well, listen, this is a good platform if anybody wants to promote their, you know, their homes or condos.
You better believe it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll promote it.
We're shameless. I was going to say,
shameless.
We'll just, whatever you got, we'll sell it for you. What do you want to talk about?
Send it our way.
You know, when I was when I first started radio, there probably is still this.
Yeah.
There used to be a thing, and I'm sure they had it downstate when you were growing up. It was called Tradio.
Oh, no, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, Tradio was where for an hour a day, people would call it and say, I have this to trade, I have that to trade. And the host would be the mediator. He'd like, get person on this line, and how much do you want for this? And somebody would call him with something. And the best one I ever heard was a guy was looking for railroad timbers, and he was willing to give up a prosthetic leg for it.
What? That is crazy.
I know. I got a slightly used prosthetic leg, and I'd like to trade it for railroad ties for my garden.
Oh, Lord have mercy. You were down in my neck of the woods with that radio show.
Oh, my gosh.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
God. Well, listen, any way that you could do trade that's legal, I'm all for it.
And you know, one of the big money makers, I'm saying in smaller markets, we don't do it. I don't think it's ever been done in major markets, was the obituaries. Have you ever heard the obituaries on the radio?
No.
Yes. So there's a whole segment where they would read the obituaries. And so you'd put your obituary in the newspaper, but you'd also pay to have it read on the radio. Not a lot, but it all adds up. And so the guy would come on and he'd do his tradio, and you'd trade the fake leg for the, you know, the wood. And the next thing you know, he rolls into so-and-so died at 94, and here's where,
What radio were you listening to?
I was on the air. This was in Michigan many years ago.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding. I thought it was.
Did you ever do any opus?
No, I never did it. No, but I thought about it.
That'll look good on your resume.
I wanted to read him like Count Dracula.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
And they didn't think it was very funny. Oh, exactly. No, it didn't work
that's
out.
That's not a good idea. Did I tell you that I went to the Bear Tie Ball? I can't remember.
No, you did not.
No, I don't think I did. Well, you know, that was this last Friday. And they held it at a place I'd never been to before, which is not, it's rare that I haven't been to a venue, but it was Pazzo's, P-A-Z-Z-O apostrophe S, at the 311 Wacker building.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been in that
building? I have not.
Oh, it's magnificent. Oh, my God. Fountains and big, massive, heroic statues. And Sylvia Perez was the MC of the event, and the event raised funds for the Bear Necessities Pediatric Cancer Foundation. And they had a packed house. It was sold out. And, you know, they had all these impact stories from these little kids that have benefited from bear hugs. And, you know, like, it's kind of like Make-A-Wish, you know, they sent you on things that you wish for. But it's just it was so touching to see these little kids. And you can't believe that a child has cancer. That is the worst thing in the world, a child with cancer.
Yeah.
So Anyway, they do a great job as Kathleen Casey, Courtney Krupa, and Kate Tillotson are the heads of this, and they've done it for like 25, 30 years, I guess. So, but it's a really great thing.
One of the things that comes to mind whenever you talk about your friends that do this work, and I'm a big advocate of not complaining about something but getting involved in it. And I always tell people, look, if whatever the issue is, you can sit and complain about all day that somebody else should be doing something about it, the city should be doing something about it, the federal government, the state government, whatever. But the unsung heroes that do this work, these nonprofits and these events that raise so much money, that make such a difference. You know, you've met my daughter Amanda. When she was 13, I donated a
Oh,
kidney to her.
beautiful.
And when we, after the kidney donation was done in Madison, she stayed in Ronald McDonald House.
Oh, did she
Yes, she
really?
did. And it was
Oh.
so important to have that there. Of course, to this day, I don't go to McDonald's much anymore, but I did. I'd be putting
Yeah.
$10, $15, $20 in because I know what happens. And unless you have that connection, sometimes you don't think about that stuff.
No. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, they certainly do the most amazing things. I've been involved with their charities for the longest time too. And I mean, I was there when they broke ground for the Ronald McDonald House on it was moving, so moving. And I had interviewed this kid who had spent a lot of time in the Ronald McDonald House. I can't believe I can't remember. Max Herrick, Herrick. And I kind of followed him around. Him, his family was fantastic, and I really wanted to get their story out. And I won an award for that story. And he's doing great now, but he had spent so much time in that Ronald McDonald House. He had, oh, so many surgeries for this and for that. I mean, he was really a sickly boy, but he's doing fine now. And he was a joy to learn more about. So yeah, I mean, it's things are good news springs up in the places where you least expect it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't go there much anymore, but and I encourage people, just throw your change in there because I can tell you from firsthand experience, it makes a difference big
Oh, it
time.
does. It does. And there's so many big names that are associated with those houses. I mean, the Chicago White Sox has a whole room that's with obviously these players and everybody donates all these signed things and anything to decorate the room with it. I mean, it's like a museum, but people can't do enough, and I just love it. And they have a magnificent garden on the top that was also donated by some land florists or landscaping company. And I mean, it's great to see the way people pitch in.
And just pops in my head. I don't know if you ever met Connie Payton. You must know her.
Yeah,
Okay.
absolutely.
So years and years ago, I think when I was on WGN, I've known, Jarrett and Brittany since they were just
Yeah.
kids and the whole thing. And I had Connie on, I was at Harpo, and I had Connie on talking about organ donation because of Walter. And I had the kids in with, it was a great, we had a great show. I think I had him on with Dr. Oz. And afterwards, she was telling me about this project they have. At the time, they were just starting in Northlake to provide, like a housing for veterans that were homeless and such like that. And I just happened to look at this while you were talking. And since that time, they have over 40 fully furnished suites that have been sponsored.
Oh, wow, that's incredible.
And each one of those was just $2,500 to do the donation. So it's these kind of things that you don't often hear about, and yet they go on underneath the radar. And
Yeah.
so years ago, so probably 5 years ago now at this point, I went over and met Connie at the project, and I walked into one of the rooms, and to see that there's this place that somebody can live there rent free, they just take care of them. Those are the kind of things that make this city work, the stuff that you don't see all the time.
100% correct. I love it. That's a great story. Well, what is the name of her places that
So what
Connie?
it is, it's just the Walter and Connie Payton Foundation, and they just have an
Oh, I
event
got
page
you.
where they
Yeah.
do it all. I think
Yeah.
it's called Concord Veterans. It's right off the Eisenhower. Used to be like a hotel, and that was it was renovated.
Oh, I love that. Well, the Wings program does a similar thing. They provides housing and support services for, women and men who are survivors of domestic violence. So things are and the Chicago House, a friend of mine, Art Sims, is the project manager there, and they do a similar thing to that. So there's a lot of places that people don't know about, and that are all making the city work. So that's
That's
good
why we
news.
you do this show.
Yeah. Well, have you ever, do you like fashion shows, John?
You ask me this every week.
I know, and I always forget what you say.
No, okay, sure.
Is that a yes or
Well, it depends. I mean, are you asking me to be in it and go up on stage and show off my
Well,
clothing?
you know.
Oh, boy.
You never know. Well, Day on the Terrace is one of my favorite fashion shows, besides, of course, this upcoming Wings show. But they have a fashion show every year. It's called Day on the Terrace, and it's held at the Peninsula. And they've got all these local celebrities. You know, Israel Adonijay walked one time, and we had Michael Kutz on the runway. And
You're telling me that Izzy walked the runway?
Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I asked him to do it the last time with his wife, Jatna, and the two of them did it.
Well, that, okay.
And she was a superstar. I mean, everybody, of course, went wild over Izzy, but she is beautiful, and she really looked great in her clothes. But anyway, they raise funds for their philanthropic fund, which helps other nonprofits with items that they need for their charity work. You know, like they'll buy a bus for the Lincoln Park Zoo, or they'll buy computer pads for, you know, kids that are you know, in special needs, or really, really good stuff. And they have this, a group of the members, you know, they call them the philanthropic, whatever, members. And they get together and they review all these requests for funds. And, you know, last year they gave over $500,000 of goods away to other nonprofits. And so, so their Day on the Terrace is going to be at the Peninsula on Monday, August 5th. I'll be there. And also the spring hat luncheon they have, it will be Friday, May 17th at the Ritz. And that's where all these women come. And it's always sold out, both of these events. So if you wanted to go get your tickets now. But
you're talking to me personally?
Yeah, right
okay.
to you, John. Directly
Thanks.
To you. But the spring luncheon, they all wear their hats. And I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful affair. So I'll be at both of those. I'll cover them. And then I'll come back and tell you all about it.
So
you don't have to go.
Thank you. You're much more built for that than I am. So I just have to say that, again, you know, I grew up with the city that works. That's Chicago, right? And that comes out of all the political machinery. But I say this city works because of people like you're talking about. That's what makes this city so great. That's what makes this city work. You know, we both have friends in the news business. And, you know, I would not want to be in a position where I have to get on every night and talk about all the things in Chicago that's not working.
Right,
that is just
right,
a minuscule part of this city.
Yeah.
And these other things, I don't hear about it unless you talk about it. That's why, again, it's so important.
I just adore you, John St. Augustine. Well, thank you. Right back at you. We make a great team, I think. Well, listen, I hope you have a wonderful weekend clearing out your garage.
Yeah.
And I'll have a great week at the sneaker ball tomorrow night. And then we'll come back next week and talk about what all has happened in this beautiful city.
Fantastic. I'm up for it.
So, everybody, that's it for us. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we hope you all tune in next week for Candid Candace, the podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Candid Candace podcast. For more of what's going on in Chicago, go to CandidCandace.com.